Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Warped Reality Paranormal Podcast, Valentine's Day episode 2025. So on this episode, I got a few things for you. I got some haunted eBay, which I think you guys might like. I have a list of haunted houses that you could check out on Valentine's Day. And I have an awesome, horrible review from our very own Edgegrave Dave. So check it out.
Do aliens exist and are they among us? Are weird creatures lurking in the darkness? Do evil entities hide in the shadows of your bedroom while you sleep? Join us as we explore all this and more on the Warped Reality Podcast.
Hey, everyone. Ghost Joe here. So it's Valentine's Day, right? I wanted to have a couple more people on the show, the Nat Man and Michelle. But unfortunately, it didn't pan out. And I wanted to get this out to you guys because I've been doing a good job putting things out every freaking week, right? So, also, please check out all of our cool links in the show notes. We have an awesome Facebook webpage. Please join that. We have a group. We have Instagram. We have a TikTok. I try and keep things up. It's a little difficult with my schedule. As you guys know, I bitch about it quite often. Listen, I hope you guys really enjoyed the last episode with April Bazette. It was amazing talking to her, and I can't wait to check out and show you guys part two, because it's just as good as part one. And yeah, so let's get started, man. I have a couple of haunted eBay stuff here. I'm just going to get right into it. Usually I do this at the end of the show, but I think I'm going to end it off with Edgegrave Dave doing his review on My Bloody Valentine 3D. So, yeah. So this first item of haunted eBay is haunted mirror, and it goes for $6,996.43 with $88.25 shipping. It's from Moncton, Canada. And okay, so here's the story of this mirror. It comes from an estate in Maine after the owner and maker died. The mirror was made for a friend or daughter, unknown. He was apparently a Freemason and or part of a secret society. A couple in Maine bought the mirror intending to color match it to their bedroom's furniture. So they primed it and started to give it a sort of whitewash look with chalk paint. That apparently is what set things in motion. You know, spirits don't like when you change things around on them, especially if they're in a house and you change around the house and stuff. They do not like that. All right. So before finishing it, after running out of paint, all sort of paranormal happenings began. They stated seeing shadow figures, not only in the mirror, but anywhere opposite of where the mirror pointed, as well as lights flickering anywhere it pointed as well. They also stated any room it was placed in would go cold. They said that the mirror supposedly had more writing on it and a letter under the wooden back that was unreadable. I did not receive the letter and can't confirm or find any other writing, though they swore it was there. So they sold the mirror to an estate auction who bought it here in Canada. That's where I purchased, thinking no big deal. I'd sand it, stain it, and resell as I do. I would love to learn how to do that stuff. It has a date on the back stating 1750 and some initials or something, maybe an area or company. It was supposedly a handmade item, looked to be hand-cut and sanded by the edges and designs built of it. So I figured it would be great, and I was interested in the paranormal aspect, as I'd never had something like this before. So it sat in my storage vault for about 2 years until the summer of 2024. I bought it after getting a new place and being able to get rid of my storage vault. So I try to be rational about this kind of stuff, but the shadow figure thing I've been seeing, just like stated, it does seem to happen just like they said, either in the or directly across from where it's pointed. The cold part I can sort of attest to as well, as I've tried in multiple rooms, and even though my house is heated by forced air and reads at a stable 21 to 23 degrees Celsius, I'm American. I don't know Celsius, unfortunately. I don't know why America doesn't conform with everybody else's. Anyway, so I've put it in rooms and had them get to outside temperatures of 5 degrees Celsius and below. I tried finding help with the item, and since there was no available people anywhere near me who offered any sort of dealings with something like this, I was recommended online to sell it to anyone who had the money or means to lock it up safely or cleanse it. I don't feel it's something people look to buy, but I needed to make the effort as I was also warned to not burn it like I intended to do. So a steely heart is recommended for this one. So if you're so hell-bent on selling this thing, why are you selling it for about $7,000, you know? So, all right, so here is another mirror, okay? But this one is slightly more expensive, but it does have free shipping. It says, could this be the image of the Blessed Mother of Jesus, St. Joseph, baby Jesus? And it's going for $210,400, but with free shipping. And it's in Massillon, Ohio. Every once in a while, there comes along a supernatural paranormal experience that defies a logical or scientific explanation as to why certain things are occurring. For whatever reason, certain objects seem to be able to attract more spiritual activity to it than others do without explanation. Look closely at the image. There's a picture. I'll link it to, I'll put it in the show notes for you guys so you can see it for yourself. And you will see a woman that is holding a baby in her arms, and standing behind her is a man with his left arm around her in a loving embrace. The man is wearing a tunic type clothing right above his knees. The woman's face is bright like the sun, and no matter how darken you make the image, the face stays glowing. The other image was taken in a pitch black room, indicating the amount of energy that was present in the room that evening. In the image in the mirror, you can see one of the lightning bolts. The woman's face is glowing, but the man standing right next to her is still in the dark. Is the woman with the glowing face holding the baby, the Blessed Mother of Jesus, and the man standing behind her, her husband, St. Joseph? In the image is of Mary, the Mother of Jesus. Look at the color of her hair. The mirror and its reflections have always held a certain fascination and curiosity in those that look at it. Some believe that the reflection is an image of their soul, and others believe that mirrors reflected the shadow soul that could show the true nature of the person being reflected, while others believe that mirrors are portals to the spirit realm and even other dimensions. Excuse me. So it says vintage era metal floor length standing mirror with decorative and detailed gold painted metal leaf design. It's estimated circa unknown. And there are four working lights, and the mirror and frame stand at 67 inches tall to the top of the gold leaf. The mirror itself is approximately 48 inches tall and 20 inches wide. The total width from light to light is 43 inches, and the depth of the mirror is from base to base is 21 inches. The mirror weighs a hefty 30 pounds, but you could get it for over $200,000 with the free shipping. So, hey, why not, right? I looked at the pictures. I really, really didn't notice anything or see anything. Maybe you guys can. So please check out the show notes and you'll, you know, see the link for the object and the pictures. All right. So let me know. And if you actually happen to spot something in there, or you have a haunted eBay item or whatever that you'd like me to put on here, just give me a call at 845-600-0744 and let me know about it. Or you could email me at ghostjoeny@gmail.com. All right, so right now we're going to go into a little bit of the haunted house things, attractions for Valentine's Day. I never even knew that this existed. That you could go to haunted houses and stuff on Valentine's Day, like it's a thing, you know. That's pretty cool. The one that I actually spotted outside this list, or it's actually on the list, but that I spotted beforehand, was Valentine Haunts Long Island, and it's a ValentineHauntLongIsland.com, right? And it's in Bayville, okay? And Bayville Valentine Haunt. Okay, and it is it goes from February 14th, 15th, 16th from 7:30 to 10 p.m. And it has three Valentine haunts plus a secret bar and restaurant, starting only at $29.75, which is pretty good. I mean, it's funny because even like the haunted locations that me and the Nat Man had talked about for Halloween were like $40 at the lowest. And this is only about $30. So that's pretty cool. And one of the things that I actually like is there's a picture of like a little demon guy on there. And it says, I choose you. I guess the zombie type thing. I choose C-H-E-W-S you. I thought that was awesome. But yeah, so this is in Long Island. So if you're in the New York area, definitely check it out. It's pretty awesome too, because it's $29.75 for the haunted house stuff, but then you could also get a 3-course Valentine's dinner for $54.75, or you could do both of them, the 3 haunted houses with the 3-course dinner, and it's only $84.75, which really isn't that bad, you know. They also have vampire axe throwing for $10 extra, so that's pretty awesome. It's 8 Bayville Avenue in Bayville, New York, in Long Island. So definitely check that out. That seems pretty cool. So then I found this other list that's on hauntedattractionnetwork.com. All right, I'm going to give them a shout out there. I'm not going to go through everything because I didn't realize that there's so many freaking things on here. It's insane. But you have at least, 9 or 10 places in Alabama that are haunted locations. I'll link this also in the show notes so you guys can check it out. Arkansas, California, Colorado, Connecticut, Florida, Georgia, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kentucky, Louisiana, Maryland, Massachusetts, Michigan, Minnesota. Wow, I think pretty much all the states almost. New Jersey, with the Brighton Asylum, 13th Hour Haunted House. New York, the Bayville, of course, Seven Gates Scream Park and Crooked Descent Horror, North Carolina, Pinhead's Graveyard and the Hotel, Ohio, Akron Haunted Schoolhouse, Fear Columbus. You got Oklahoma, the Asylum, Pennsylvania. You got Pennhurst Asylum, which is huge. I actually went there with my dad once and it was pretty creepy, man. Only I went for like a Paracon type thing. So there was a lot of people there, but I'd love to go back there to do an investigation if I could ever get to do an investigation. Then South Carolina, Tennessee, Texas. Man, there's a lot of freaking Valentine's haunted things. But I'll link all that so you guys can check it out for yourself. And whatever state you're in, hopefully they have one, which is probably pretty certain because there's a lot of them here. So yeah, with that being said, let's get in touch with Edgegrave Dave and his horrible review on My Bloody Valentine. Take it away, Dave.
Horrible review with Edgegrave Dave.
For the legend they say on the Valentine's Day is a curse that will live on and on. And it sure does live on and on, because believe me, grave diggers, roses are still definitely bloody red. And if you weren't afraid of Harry Warden, we have a second helping of some hacked up Valentine's Day chocolate boxes with heart stuff inside, because we're going to time travel from 1981 right to the 2009 remake of My Bloody Valentine 3D.
Grave Dave is in love. You can just feel Cupid's arrow piercing your skin as it rips right through the feeling of love in the air. We just love our horror movies. And 2009 was at the height of the remake craze. Man, during that last decade, companies like Platinum Dunes really took what once was our modern slasher movies from the 80s, and they were just kind of churning out these remakes. I remember we had the 2004 and 6 Texas Chainsaw Massacre films. They actually kind of continued with the remake and the sequels. That got a little crazy. We had Friday the 13th in 2009, and of course, A Nightmare on Elm Street, and there's others too. But when My Bloody Valentine came out in 2009, this did something a little bit different from the others. This was actually the first film shot in 3D as a wide release format of viewing. This was intended to be in 3D, and it was also sent out to over 1,000 theaters, if you could believe that. And it did pretty well, as a matter of fact. Now, when I say this was the first film to be shot in 3D,
What I'm talking about is the real 3D format for a rated R movie and horror movie, nonetheless, that was distributed. This film was shot digitally in 4K resolution and used by the Red Digital Cinema Camera Company with the use of an SI2K digital camera. This was just not commonplace at this time, and Real D technology can certainly be found in a lot of superhero and box office smash films that do come out today. Now, this film, to get some bloody facts out of the way, was directed by Patrick Lussier, screenplay by Todd Farmer, story by Stephen Miller, of course, based on the original 1981 My Bloody Valentine by John Beard. This was also produced by Jack Murray, starring Jensen Ackles. And if you don't know who he is, check out the show Supernatural. And I do have some facts about that, actually, coming up a little bit. This also stars Jamie King, Kerr Smith, Edie Gathegi, Betsy Rue, Megan Boone, Tom Atkins of Halloween 3 fame. And Halloween is another seasonal film. We talked a little bit about that, about how a lot of these holiday films became quite the thing. And Kevin Teague. This also was produced by Lionsgate Films, who at this time, Lionsgate was really becoming a staple in the horror scene with the Saw franchise. And that was just really some money coming in their pocket. I mean, what a series that was. And the format that I chose to view this movie in is my standard DVD 3D version that I believe I bought from, I want to say, Walmart a long time ago. As previously mentioned, this is an upgrade from the red and blue 3D glasses. This did come with the paper 3D glasses that are green and like a fuchsia color. And truthfully, I wish that more movies did that, because the quality of this 3D, I mean, when there's stuff popping out of the screen, there's really blood and guts and tree branches and other weapons like the pickaxe that just come right out to you. And it avoids many of the earlier pitfalls of 3D. And to be perfectly honest with you, the red and blue 3D always kind of left my eyes kind of a little wonky. I was kind of seeing both colors in my right and my left eye. It sounds kind of odd, but it's like you shut the red eye, the red eye, it really was, which was my right eye, and then the left eye, which was blue, and you're kind of seeing that for a while. But I'm still very proud that I have my original copy with the 3D holographic cover that goes back and forth where Harry Warden is about to approach with the pickaxe. Here we go. I'm going to give a blood dripping edge. Grave warning, spoiler alert. One of the things that I'm extremely happy with this film is how balanced that it is. Going back to the time period of the 80s, that was a time where things were really fresh with a lot of the slashers. Like I said last year, you know, the whole holiday theme movie with Halloween and Friday the 13th started to kind of run its course, but the original 1981 My Bloody Valentine was a real gem that had come out of that time period. But that, the MPAA really had a field day with cutting out a lot of scenes. By 2009, and especially with Lionsgate releasing this film, I mean, it was no holds barred, brother. We had anything and everything could really be done. And while they could do that, it was extremely very well balanced. Between the story, the blood and guts was just great, the way that it was shown, the pace of this movie. I like to talk about pace sometimes, because sometimes movies sort of move you in a momentum that you're not really sure what's going to happen, and then it feels like something else. This, from start to finish, really felt like it told a complete satisfied story. And the fact that it was a remake, I do want to talk about remakes for just a moment. You know, remakes are something that is not really a very new idea. I mean, if you go back to the time period of the Universal Studios monsters, remakes have always been there. We've always had black and white films like Dracula, and then we had Christopher Lee that had taken his place. And I mean, look, we actually had Renfield that had come out around the decade of the first 2000s. I personally felt that a lot of these films that had come out were just okay. I almost kind of shuddered in my own horror, in my own fear when they came out, because I never want the original movie to be forgotten about. Not that that has happened. A lot of them sort of took it in whatever direction that the director was feeling at that time. Sometimes it was for better or for worse. The 2004 and the 2006 Texas Chainsaw Massacre remakes were definitely some of the better ones. Then you have ones like the 2009 Friday the 13th remake. With that one, you know, I'm the first to admit, I haven't reviewed this one yet, but I always felt Jason was just a little bit too smart. I mean, he was kind of like laying traps and stuff like that. I mean, well, if you go to the video game, traps are there. But not to digress too much, with My Bloody Valentine, when it had come out in 2009, I wasn't that familiar with the original, so I did see this one first. And then when I went back and I did see the original film, I was pretty happy that it was very similar story, but at the same time, it explored different elements of that story. And the fact that the MPAA did not restrict this film like the original film was something that I was very happy about. I mean, just from the opening credits, the way that the newspaper is shown and the way that things are just coming out of the screen, I just love that. And then we get into the story. So when you have the characters saying dialogue, you don't really feel bored. You don't really feel strung along, and you certainly don't feel that you have to compare it to the original film. It's just extremely balanced. One of the things that I really like about this movie is how it starts off, where you really do get to see Harry Warden and doing his stuff and out of the Miner's Mask, which still does have that Darth Vader. They just can't get away from that guy's that that heavy breathing. I mean, it really does work for him. You know, it's something that has become a staple of the character. They still stuck with the whole, you rip the heart out of the body and put it in the Bloody Valentine's Day box. I'm glad that they did stick with that, because that was very important to the original film. The story does have a similar love triangle like in the original film, but let's just say that this time things are just a little bit switched up. And I like the way that they had done it. The mine is a very strong focal point of the story. You had this terrible mining accident that happened in the town that happened 10 years ago. Now the mine is going to be sold, and the mine is a huge part of this town. The person that is intently selling this mine is a character named Tom. Tom, in the beginning of the film, barely survived the menace of Harry Warden, and now he's going to sell it. Then we have Axel, who became the new chief of police. And you know what? The previous chief was by Tom Atkins. And that's just awesome, because when he's running around, I just kept on thinking about Halloween 3. And when they tried to stop Harry Warden, everybody is just shocked. How could he be back? And when they try to put their evidence together, it really could be possible that Harry Warden really is back. One of the scenes that I want to talk about where they sort of did push the envelope, there is a character named Irene. And man, she is just full frontal naked. And I was not expecting that. And she just runs right out of that motel. And she gets into a little spat of a boyfriend that was trying to film the act that they were doing in there. Okay. She definitely wasn't expecting that. And she tries to get revenge. And the miner definitely does get revenge. And the way that this film just keeps on moving along all the way to the climax of, how could Harry Warden be stopped? What's going on here? How did he come back? What really happened to Harry Warden? It really does harken back to the original film. There are just some excellent kills in this movie. In the original film, the pickaxe was the main weapon that was used. I think I even said and kind of was joking that I think that a knife was actually used at the end of the last film. Well, this movie does keep the pickaxe as the staple, and they use every creative way possible that you could use this tool. I mean, it could be down on the ground. He could be holding it. He could be chasing you with it. He could be throwing it. I mean, my bloody pickaxe. That could almost work as like a sequel to this movie. Sadly, it was reported that there was a sequel that was planned, but it was ultimately canceled. Truthfully, I kind of like that this movie stands on its own and that it's not going to have continuous sequels that might just overexpose the character and the mysterious element. And they still do have a scene where there's a laundry machine. And like I said in my review last year, that there's a body just spinning around like a kebab. Well, they reenacted that scene, and this time there's a charcoal burnt body that comes out. And that was really, really fun. I would just love to tell you guys some interesting facts. And this is, you can check out a website called Screen Rant, 10 things that you never knew about My Bloody Valentine, the remake. Well, we already talked about the 3D element. Did you know that the bridge, and this was filmed in Pittsburgh as opposed to Canada in the original film, that there was a bridge that was also used in the Mothman Prophecies. So there you go with the location. There is a character, Todd Farmer is one of the writers in this film, that this is the second time that he played a character, and he played the truck driver in that funny naked scene where Irene throws the gun at him before Harry Warden gets him. Farmer did appear previously in another film he wrote, and that one was Jason X. So, there's a supernatural crossover where Jensen Ackles and Jared Padalecki both starred in mainstream remakes. So Jensen Ackles does play Tom. Well, Jared Padalecki did play Cole in the Friday the 13th remake. So there you go. Look at that. They both were in the show Supernatural, and they both did 80s remakes and in the same year in 2009. And in the show Supernatural on February 11th, 2010, there was an episode entitled My Bloody Valentine. Here's another one for you guys. Tom Atkinson apparently had a recycled line. So in My Bloody Valentine 3D, Tom Atkins is Sheriff Burke. And it says here that Sheriff Burke barks the line, "Everybody stand down, goddammit." Well, 2 years later in the film Drive Angry, also written by Farmer and directed by Patrick Lussier, Atkins played a different character. And the exact same line was said in a dramatic roadblock sequence. If you happen to be in Universal Studios on Halloween Horror Nights back in 2009, they did turn My Bloody Valentine into an attraction. That's something, guys, that I've always wanted to go to, never had a chance. I know that they had Saw stuff, Chucky stuff, Universal Monster stuff. Well, they better have Universal Monsters, being that it's in Universal Studios. And there's actually a scene that plays homage, and it looks like it's with an eyeball that was done by a kill by Harry Warden. And this time it was done in the Halloween and Friday the 13th franchise. There's something else that I want to say, and I'm very surprised that this film was almost banned in Australia. I mean, they do have some of the strictest rules where their R rating is 18 plus, and I guess that they really had to scrutinize. It's always going to happen with horror. It's just one of those things where, you know, we have the MPAA and there's different organizations that just always have to police their product. But I'm very happy that it's always quite accessible. I rate this one. Am I going to do it? I love this film, guys. For a remake film, I'm going to give it a 4.5 to a 5 out of 5 graves. And the reason why, it is not easy to do a remake. It is not easy to make something similar, yet something different with a cohesive plot that is just done very, very well without comparing it to another movie. Again, the special effects, the gore was excellent.
The story was very well balanced. The acting, these characters really did their homework on this one. There is a twist ending. The only hint that I'll give you is that there is a changeup. I really like the way that that was done. And this film does absolutely stand on its own. You could easily watch My Bloody Valentine 1981 and then time travel 88 miles per hour with your DeLoreans all the way to the future, which is now the past of 2009, and watch My Bloody Valentine 3D. So love your horror movies. We love each and every one of you. And thank you so much for listening. We really do love and appreciate that. And Ghost Joe, I still love you. Take care, guys.
Thank you so, so much for that awesome, horrible view. As usual, Edgegrave, thank you so much for everything you do and have helped me with, even though you didn't like me in the second grade. I'm never going to let you forget that, by the way. Yeah, Edgegrave did not like me in the second grade. He didn't really start, you know, hanging out with me until about the fifth grade, even though I tried. All right. I tried as a second grader to be his friend, and he just didn't want to be my friend. That jerk. Anyway, I digress. I'd love you too, Edgegrave, okay? And so now let's finish off this episode with a nice, tiny, terrifying tale poem. Let's go!
Tiny, terrifying tales.
In shadows deep, where whispers creep, a heart once warm now lies in sleep. With candlelight and ghostly sighs, a specter roams where love still lies. Beneath the moon so pale and bright, I pen this verse on a haunted night. A valentine for you I send, but love, it seems, has met its end. Your laughter echoes through the halls, yet silence falls as darkness calls. In every corner chills entwine, a love that's lost forever's mine. With roses black and petals torn, a love that's cursed, a heart forlorn. Your phantom touch, a fleeting trace, in dreams I seek your cold embrace. So if you feel a breath so near, it's just my ghost, my love, sincere.
So I hope you guys enjoyed that lovely Valentine's Day poem. And I hope you guys enjoyed this episode of the Warped Reality Paranormal Podcast. Next week, I hope to have part two of the April Bazette video, the April Bazette interview, ready for you guys. I have some other interviews lined up. And John Wright for the Right Headspace has some stuff going on too. He should be putting out some stuff as well as Edgegrave Dave. I'm sure the Nat Man will be back soon. And yeah, guys, so have a great Valentine's Day. Please let me know if you check out any of those haunted attractions also, because I'd love to hear your experience on them. Have a great Valentine's Day and stay spooky. And all right, guys, talk to you later. See you next week.
Thank you for listening to the Warp Reality Podcast, and thank you to all my guests and contributors that help make this show possible. For more episodes, guest info, social media links, merch, and more, please check out warprealitypodcast.com. If you have a paranormal experience you would like to share, questions, comments, or you'd like to be a guest in the show, please leave me a voicemail at 845-600-0744, or you can email me at ghostjoeny@gmail.com. You can do so anonymously if you'd like. Also, I'd greatly appreciate it if you could leave me a review on Apple Podcasts or WarpRealityPodcast.com. Have a great night, everyone, and don't forget to change your shorts.